Articles in the San Francisco Chronicle this week about the closed-door grand jury testimony report allegations of steroid use by two well-known baseball players. The paper says Barry Bonds and Jason Giambi testified about substances given to them by their trainers. The local U.S. attorney is calling for his bosses at the Justice Department to find out how the reporters got hold of that testimony. NPR's David Folkenflik reports the dust-up may be just the latest front in the larger battle between the media and the government.
By law, grand jury testimony is supposed to be kept secret, but journalists and government officials have always played cat-and-mouse games with confidential information. This time around, the articles aren't about impeachment or weapons of mass destruction. Instead, they're about baseball, specifically the testimony of certain star players who are said to have admitted using steroids. In a statement last night, U.S. Attorney Kevin Ryan called for his bosses to investigate how the Chronicle got its information. The Chronicle says its reporters will protect the identity of their anonymous sources. Editors say that's the only way the paper could show how professional baseball really works. A lawyer for the newspaper's parent company says the U.S. attorney's call is designed to intimidate reporters from chasing the news and to intimidate sources from talking with reporters. Hearst Corporation General Counsel Eve Burton.
If you have no protection for confidential sources, there's a direct connection between what comes out in the press through confidential sources and whistleblowers and the quality of government we have in this country over a long period of time.
Journalists often invoke constitutional principles to defend the use of unnamed sources, but there is no concrete legal protection. In a 1972 case, the U.S. Supreme Court held that reporters could be forced to reveal anonymous sources in court. Peter Vira was the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania under Presidents Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan.
When I was in the department, they were always very leery and respectful of the First Amendment right and the right to news. The reason you do it, if it's something very serious, So that's the reason you would do that.
But that reluctance may have faded. Jim Terracani wouldn't reveal who gave him a videotape that was a key part of a federal corruption investigation in Rhode Island 3 years ago. The local television reporter could learn next Thursday how much time he'll serve in jail for a criminal contempt conviction. His term could last as long as 6 months. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. found Judith Miller of the New York Times and Matthew Cooper of Time magazine in contempt of court. They refused to disclose the names of people they may have spoken to about Valerie Plame, a CIA official. Her identity was revealed soon after her husband publicly criticized the Bush administration. Both reporters could face open-ended jail terms. Judith Miller of the New York Times.
The government is increasingly willing to subpoena reporters and try to get at the people who mishandle classified information or speak without authorization. I think this is a very worrisome trend.
Miller never published an article that identified Plame. Cooper only did after her identity was revealed by conservative columnist Robert Novak. But Vira, the former U.S. attorney, says Plame's identity should have stayed hidden for her safety. And he says the government is right to force Miller and Cooper to name their sources.
I wouldn't have horsed around with it. I'd just gone right to him and said, okay, enough's enough. Now, cough them up.
A hearing is set for Cooper and Miller next Wednesday. A spokesman from the Justice Department says it is considering whether to investigate the Chronicle reports. But Eve Burton, the newspaper's lawyer, says the prospect should scare all reporters and all Americans who rely on them for serious news.
Ben Franklin's brother, a printer, went to jail for refusing to disclose the identity of an anonymous author. I would hope that 300 years later, after a revolution, we'd not be faced with the same grim prospect.
David Folkenflik, NPR News.